Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to In the Spotlight. I'm your host, Tamika Patrice Kane. And 3 times a month, we bring you the authors with the most flaming pens in the literary arena, the publishers dedicated to producing the hottest books, and industry professionals who are sure to take your books to the next level. Today's featured guests are debut novelist Lanice Jackson and author and founder of the Dayton Book Expo, Valerie J. Lewis Coleman. Lanice, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. How are you?
I am doing very well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
It's a pleasure to be on.
Oh,
thanks. Why don't you tell us about your debut novel, Front Desk Diaries, Sweet Nights, Volume 1. Tell us about your book.
Well, the book is about a young lady. A main character, her name is Alexandra, and she works currently at a hotel in downtown Atlanta. And she is struggling to grow forward in her career. She would like to own a hotel of her own, but she's been there for a while. So you see the dynamic between her and her boss and her and some of her other coworkers who've been there for a long time. And her friends. Her friends are incredibly hilarious. They are all people that we know, the people that make us laugh, the people that keep us in drama, the people that are with us through the thick and the thin. So you just see her evolution through that as she struggles to move forward in her career.
Okay. So that sounds interesting that she has aspirations of owning a hotel of her own. I heard it said once that we work not just for a paycheck, but to gain experience, you know, so that we can learn the ins and outs of what to do. So I think that's pretty powerful there. That's an interesting title that you've come up with. How'd you come up with it?
Front Desk Diaries? I don't know. It just kind of came to me. I wanted it. It's very personal. So in the book, a lot of times, you know, when you write from first person, it's already kind of your thoughts. But you really hear some of the things that she thinks that she doesn't say, you know, which we all do that. There are so many things in life or moments where you're just like, really? Or like, oh, my God, or whatever. But you don't exactly express that because there are times and places for different things. So everything isn't the moment for that. But you do get to go with her on her journey and you experience everything as she experiences it. So to me, being a writer, that just made me think of diary. I've been keeping journals and diaries my whole life. And when I go back and read it, it's always very personal and funny, and you're just like, I wouldn't even remember that part of that situation had I not written it down that way. So it's a very enjoyable experience, and I wanted people to know that they were going to get the real deal. There was no filter there. There was nothing between you and Alex. Like, Alex was taking you all the way with her.
Okay. I love it. Now, I have downloaded the book. I haven't gotten to read it yet, but I do have it, so I'm looking forward to that.
I understand. Thank you so much for your support.
Oh, yes. My pleasure. So what did you hope to accomplish by writing this story?
Well, it was just, for me, this is just the beginning. You know, it's just a small seed planted in a direction that I feel we have so many different things and topics and circumstances that we can explore and talk about, and I feel like so many times, especially when it comes to urban art in any sense, we kind of get put in this area where it's like you can only do this one thing or you can only talk about these certain subjects. And I didn't want to do that. I said, well, let me do something that was completely different than anyone else was doing, something that I was proud of and something that told a different story, you know, because not everyone, no offense to anybody, or because I read all types of books and I know all types of people, but not everyone, you know, is a stripper or, you know, has baby daddy drama and in the drug lifestyle. Like, that's not all that our lives are made up of. So there are so many things and actual layers that make up who we are as people, and especially as young Black people. So it's like there's so many stories that can be told. So I don't want to keep telling the same story over and over and over again. So for me, I was like, I want to tell a different story.
Do you consider yourself an urban fiction writer? Is that your genre?
I don't really consider it anything. For me, I've always been a writer. So I never wanted to be any one thing except for great, except for exceptional. It didn't matter for me if it was a poem, if it was a song, if it were a piece of spoken word, if it were a story. As long as it was great, I never put myself into boxes. What other people choose to think of it, you know, is what they would like to call it. But for me, it's just art. It's just my expression. It was just where I was in that moment. And that could be any range of things. So
that's very interesting, and I totally feel you on that. It raises up another question for me, though, and that is, if you aren't categorized somewhere, how do you find your audience?
I'm still, actually, to be completely honest, I'm still working on it. I am self-published, and this is my first, my debut novel. So for me, everything and every day and situation is a learning opportunity for me to continue to understand what my target audience is and understand how to make my work accessible to them. So it's definitely a work in progress, but as of right now, it's considered contemporary women's fiction.
Gotcha.
So
that's
where
genre.
I am. Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
That is where I'm categorized right now, yes.
Okay, all right, that makes sense. So when was the book released?
The book was released in November, on November 7th, so I was very excited about that. It was such a beautiful experience. It took a while to get to this point, and now I'm working on part two, and I've got some really, really huge surprises I'm so excited about, and I don't want to let the cat out of the bag right now, but I'm working on something really, really amazing, so it'll take it to a whole new level, and I'm excited about it. I'm really excited.
Okay, good. And so this is your first novel, but it's not your first attempt at writing. So is there a general theme present in your work?
I wouldn't necessarily say so. I just, outside of it being, I like to be well-rounded. That was my thing when I was younger. I grew up in Detroit, and I looked up to all these amazing people, but they were all well-rounded. They weren't just writers or weren't just actors or weren't just – they did everything. So for me, it's the fact that it's all something that I can be proud of, that I know I went through thoroughly, that I know encompasses every element which is needed to make it be something great on its own. So that's my standard. That'll be my standard forever. So you'll definitely consistently see that. But outside of that, you never know. Because I like to surprise people. I like being the unexpected, the one that you're like, I never thought of that, but it's really kind of dope. You know, like I love that feeling of being up surprising people. It's beautiful. It's better than being like, oh, well, yeah, that was cool. All right, great. You know, I would rather have the surprise. You know, I really would.
Yep. So, so what genres are you writing in currently? So we know that you do women's fiction, and you mentioned poetry and songwriting. I caught that. What else? What else are you doing? Do you blog or do you write for magazines? What else are you doing?
No, I don't currently, not as of right now. There are some things that I'm working on, but I've really, to be completely honest, sometimes you just bite off a little bit more than you can chew, and there are some things that I wish maybe I would have been able to do, and I was like, okay, well, maybe I put too much on my plate. Because you have to take into account that, you know, in the midst of us writing and being creators, like, we're actual people, and we're having our own experiences as well along this road. So it's definitely a challenge to balance that, but I do look forward to doing events and setting up some book signings. I'm getting ready to hit the streets with my paperbacks. So for right now, it's just contemporary women's fiction. And I do, after I put part two out, volume two will be out very soon. Release date is coming up as well, but I'm going to have a standalone. So I'm very excited about that. It's an incredible, incredible story, and it's been brewing in me for so long, and I've got it, and I'm
awesome.
You know, when you've got, you know, that feeling when you're just like, I just know, like, this is great. And I don't know where it came from. Once again, it just happens to me, and I just follow it. I listen to it, and I trust that instinct.
Okay. All right, that sounds good. Now, the poetry that you write, you know, is it just for personal, or do you share it, you know, on other platforms, or what?
It's been so long since I have shared some poetry. I used to when I was younger, but when my poetry turned into music very quickly. So I experienced that side of it as like, okay, well, let me go ahead and explore that. So I performed a lot. So I didn't do as much poetry as I did as maybe singing or being in groups and going, you know, and dancing and being in choirs. and things of that nature. I went that route with it.
Gotcha. All right. So let's go back to your novel here for just a second. Again, the novel is called Front Desk Diaries, Sweet Nights, Volume 1. If there was one message that you could guarantee readers would come away with after reading this book, what would it be?
I think at the end of the day is that we're all human and we all have struggles and that we can fight through those struggles, but we've got to understand that sometimes we can't fix everything. Sometimes we can't fix and make it. I think so many times, and a lot of women that I know, we get lost in trying to be superwoman and being so strong and so focused and so disciplined and all this that we forget that we can't do it all. And sometimes we lose ourselves, and sometimes we lose the people that we're trying so hard to protect. So it's just a very coming-of-age story, because I think it's relatable in every sense. It's like sometimes you just don't know, and it's just something that you're like, wow, like no matter what I do sometimes. And that's okay, that you can still overcome that and triumph and move on to do something bigger and greater, but that sometimes it's just you can't be everything to everybody. You've got to be, you know, your best to you.
That's right. I just had a conversation with a lady just recently, and she had some things that she had started, and then it just kind of felt very, I guess she was just maxed. That's my way of putting it, you know. And I was so hard to really relate to that. Like, sometimes you have to just take a step back. Like, the radio shows were actually on hiatus for 6 months last year because it was just a lot going on, and I needed to just take a step back. And sometimes we have to do that, and we have to know that it's okay to do that. You know, I mean, sometimes we're so busy just pouring into everybody and giving the best of what we've got to everybody that we don't get very much of anything. But our lives are like bank accounts, and if we continue to keep making withdrawals and never make any deposits, eventually we become overdrawn, you know, and we have to know that it's okay to pour into ourselves too, you know, to make ourselves a priority. So I'm really glad that you touched on those, you know, those subjects in your book, you know, and with the message that, you know, hey, you're only human, you know, remember that song, too, you're only human. So
yes,
do the best that we can with what we've got, you know, that's awesome. When did you know you wanted to be an author?
To be completely honest, it just happened. I never sat down and said, yeah, these are the things. I just knew it. I just kept doing it, and I knew that it was going to grow. And I was excited to take that journey with it because it started from Lexus. Like right now, it's hard for me to kind of grasp all of the business part side of it because my whole life it's just been art, and it's been my best friend and my first love and my everything. So I don't equate it to money or how many likes you get or how many. I don't equate it that way because when I first fell in love with it, it just was something beautiful that I loved. So I was like, okay, well, this is great. Or, wow, well, this is what I made today. Or this color made me think of this. Or this smell, I heard this melody. Or, you know, I looked at this person and I thought and wondered about their life. And that turned into a short story that I wrote that night. Like, I just went with it. I didn't say, I just knew that God was like, okay, this it was a gift that I could hear something, see something, feel something that other people didn't even acknowledge. So for me, I just said, well, let me just go with that. And always having been a writer, I knew that it was something that I was going to do. So it was like, so doing it was just like really great because I was like, wow, like I did something that I knew I was going to, you know, I didn't know when it was going to happen or what it was going to be about. You know, I just knew that it was. And sometimes you don't need to know all the details. Sometimes we get so into planning, you don't know because something could happen today when we get off this phone that changes your whole entire life. And everything that you thought you planned and all of this, you we don't really know, you know. So I try to stay as fluid, as free as possible in my creative space to where I know that where it's taking me is where I'm supposed to be.
Yes. So let me just interject here. If you are just tuning in, you are listening to In the Spotlight, and I'm your host, Tamika Patrice Kane. And our guest right now is debut novelist Lanice Jackson. So a little backstory here. She and I were co-guests on Word Sexy, and she had such phenomenal energy. I had to bring her on the show. So I'm just so glad that she is with us today, and she's sharing about her journey and her passion for the art and her debut novel. And it's just a really enjoyable interview. So I'm glad that you are with us, and we're going to plug on right back in. So how has your life changed since your work has been released? And you are now an author. So how has your life changed since that?
My life has changed. I'm really working on becoming the best woman that I can be. So really, it just, as much as it's an accomplishment, it pointed out for me, myself, when I look in the mirror, I say, well, I know now certain things that I've got to do to make sure that I, you know, raise myself up, to make sure that I'm doing everything that I can do to max out my full potential. So as far as, you know, time matters, as far as putting my things on the schedule, as far as being more organized and understanding and learning and researching about this business and marketing and things of that nature. So for me, it's just a really huge growth process, and it's beautiful because I see myself evolving every day to someone that I know is better than who I am. So I've learned a whole lot, and like I said, it's becoming an entrepreneur. It's exciting, you know. You're finding out new ideas, and you're recognizing your strength and your power, that we do have decision making power and things of that nature. So it's very powerful. It's awesome.
Okay. Is there one thing about the industry that you wish you had known ahead of time that would have made your journey easier?
I think I would have done more, and I wish I would have known more and done more about my promoting. So things of that nature, like promoting and marketing, I really didn't know as much about it as I know now, which still isn't a lot, but it's like I wish I would have done more things to prepare myself for that and just make some more connections and network a little bit more. Those are things that I think definitely play a big part in it. And it's just different for me because I'm a tadpole as far as literature is concerned. Like, I know how to go and get myself booked for a show or do an open mic and things of that nature. So it's just learning a whole different industry. There's a lot of similarities, but a lot of differences. So I didn't have those contacts that I needed, and I didn't have the knowledge to make sure that I was put in probably the best position. But I think I did well given, you know, my circumstances, and I did have promoters that came along and did a phenomenal job and made incredible ads and things like that for myself. But there were a lot of things that I was like, oh, I wish I would have thought of that 3 weeks ago. You're like, oh, why didn't I do, why didn't I, you know. But you're learning, you know, you're learning. So you have to accept that process for what it is too.
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned the marketing piece. That takes me right into my next question for you. So for many authors, marketing is the hardest part of the writing process. How do you keep your works in front of readers?
With marketing, the key for me is being consistent. When you have work out there, I think it's about making sure that you let readers know in advance, making sure that you're putting contests out and giving people the opportunity to find out about it. If you don't share consistently, if you don't have promoters, sometimes making sure that you have those views in your groups, and even promoting on other social network sites, because not just Facebook, you know, you have to make sure that you're well-rounded in that area. So for me, that's what I think is definitely a key, is to be consistent. And to do more than just one thing, because Facebook is just, it's just not enough. You know, it's not enough. It's a great tool, but it's not enough. It's not it.
So she brings up some excellent points. And so as we can see, Lanice has a very outgoing personality, you know, and I can see where that would serve you very well. It seems like you wouldn't have a problem talking about your work. And I know that for many authors, they are rather introverted individuals, you know, so they write, but they're not necessarily all that great at sharing, you know, information about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like social media aspects and stuff like that are wonderful because it gives them a chance to push the work without actually having to push themselves so much, you know.
Yes, yes.
And each social media platform brings about its own people that it reaches. So even though it seems like it may be the same information, you know, and some people may overlap, each one has its own demographic. So, you know, go ahead and, like Lenise was saying, join multiple platforms because it really does serve a purpose. So, Lenise, in addition to writing, you are also a gifted songstress. Do you have specific goals for your music, your musical gift, or is it a hobby?
Oh, no, I definitely have goals regarding that. It's kind of all one goal for me. It's just everything, okay. As long as everything is moving forward and they're all moving in that same direction, then it's toward the goal. So for me, it's just making sure that our stories are told. Like I said regarding the novel, it's the same thing with the music. You know, we hear an oversaturation of negativity. I hate to put it, you know, mm-hmm. quite like that, but mm-hmm. it's just not, mm-hmm. it's not positive, uplifting, you know, music most of the time that you hear. And there are so many stories. When I was younger, I'm an 80s baby, so I'm kind of old, but, you know, when I was younger, when I was growing up, music was powerful. If you look back into history, music, you know, makes people, you know, see and acknowledge and understand their own resilience and have them do something amazing. If you use it in the right way, it's just a tool just like mm-hmm. anything else. So if you're saying something, if you're going to say something, for me, it's so important and it's so incredibly powerful that I'm like, I'm going to say something good, important. And people think, I think in our society right now, if it's quote unquote conscious, then it's lame or it's square or no, it's not mm-hmm. that. Just because I'm having a good time and it's a club record doesn't mean I have to degrade myself, doesn't mean I have to mm-hmm. disrespect myself, or doesn't mean I have to fight her or have them two
right.
fight each other or them guys shoot each other. Like, just that doesn't mean that's fun, because that's actually really not fun, you know? So mm-hmm. like it's the mm-hmm. whole mix up of trying to shift the momentum. So when I do share my work, which will be very soon, very soon, I'm going to have to, hopefully I'll be able to come back on the show and I'll share some of the things with you and email you some. But I'm really excited about it because there are so many stories and perspectives and situations that we just don't talk about. And it's like, it's so common. It's like, I come up with something, I'm like, why has no one ever said that in a song, like ever made mm-hmm. a song about that? And, you know, my friends, because mm-hmm. I have a lot of focus groups and times when people come over and we talk about this, like out loud, you know, 6 people, 7 to 8 people every day, you know, ongoingly. And it's beautiful because they're like, wow, you know, and you kind of really see how much space there is to be creative and still come up with something that is great, that can make, you know, Billboard Top 100 and, you know, all of these things and be acknowledged, even in the sense of bringing this back full circle, kind of something like the Oscars. So you see how it's all mm-hmm, the same, mission, mm-hmm. you know, it's all the same mission to be acknowledged, to tell our stories, to show our creativity and our brilliance. That's
okay.
the goal.
So you also went to broadcasting school. Congratulations. That's quite an accomplishment.
Thank you.
What goals do you have? Oh, you're very welcome. What goals do you have in the broadcasting arena?
I definitely I know that my writing is going to take me to small screen, large screen. I'm not really sure exactly which aspect, because I love writing, but I've also okay. been in front of the camera as well. So mm-hmm. I'm just, you know,
okay.
doing all I can to learn as much as possible so that whatever opportunity or whatever does happen, that I'm prepared for it.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's the same thing, just making sure that we are shown. And sometimes, because when I look, I don't even really watch TV anymore. I hate to say that, but I really don't, because it's been about mm-hmm. 4 or 5 years that I just don't watch TV. I really don't listen to the, I don't, because I don't feel like when I look at TV that I'm reflected, me, myself,
mm-hmm.
that the people that
mm-hmm.
I know, that the people that I love and care about, that I, you know are successful or whatever, that we're not shown. I don't see myself when I look at TV. So I have to, we got to change that. So my goal was to obtain as much knowledge as possible so that I can know how to produce a show, how to shoot mm-hmm. a web series, how to
mm-hmm.
have
mm-hmm.
the tools and know who to go to talk to be able to change this. And it's been so long that society and, you know, America as we know it has been this way. It's been this way since the beginning of time. So it's an ongoing
mm-hmm.
process. But I just want to do all that I can to make sure that my people are acknowledged the way I see us.
But you know, that's such a powerful thing that you bring up, because you know, too often, you know, we kind of get lumped together. And what you said was really powerful. There's a number of black people that we see on TV all the time, but you said you didn't see yourself on there. And you know, And I think that is such a significant thing. I think we kind of run into some of that with literature, too. You know, we see the same types of people. We get the same images. She has to look like this. He has to look like that. They have to be doing this thing, that thing, or the other. And yet there are whole demographics of people whose lives don't fit that. And they want to be able to see themselves. So I feel like that is just such a powerful, you know, message that you were just talking about there, and wanting to use your gifts and your platform to be able to give voice and to give a face to other aspects of our journey, you know, because it's not all the same. And so, yes, I applaud you, you know, for that, even for that.
Thank you so much. And it's so crazy. I really appreciate you saying that, because you would be surprised at how many people don't get it. And they say it when I say, well, you know, one song or one movie or one project or one anything, it could really change the world, like our energy and our thoughts and all. People are looking at me like I'm insane, like I'm speaking, you know, an entirely different language. And so I really, truly appreciate you saying that. Because it lets me know, you know, to really, truly keep going, you know. And me, like, I'm really big on youth and stuff like that, so I'm always talking to them, pouring into them, letting them know that they can be anything they want to be. You know, there was a time when, you know, when kids said they wanted to be lawyers and doctors and, you know, all astronauts. And, I mean, they right now, we're living in a society where all they want to do is be a rapper or play basketball. And that's just not enough. For me.
I
want to enable, you know, our future leaders with the tools to know as well, like, no, there's a whole world out here for you to experience, and you deserve it, and you can have it, and let's go get it. You know, that's it,
you know,
for me.
I think, you know, with us, we had so many, when things were less integrated, and so, you know, on one hand, it was a really, a huge blessing to our people, and then on the other hand, it hasn't always fared us so well, you know. But when things were less integrated, you know, we lived next door to the doctors, to the teachers, you know, to people who were doing other things, you know, and so we had role models within our own communities. Unfortunately, you know, as soon as we got a little bit of something, we moved out of those communities. And so, you know, it gave us slimmer pickings, you know, to be able to decide, you know, oh, well, I can do this, or, you know, there's something outside of, you know, what I see in my little nuclear unit that I can aspire to, you know. And we've lost some of those role models, you know. So yeah, you just bring up so many points there. I can't wait to see some of the other writings and things you come up with, you know, because you are definitely a forward thinking individual, you know, and not afraid to put that is just awesome. So we're wrapping up our time here. I have a few more questions.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I said, I know I'm very, very opinionated. That's part of the reason why I kind of, so as much I think Facebook is a great tool and Instagram and Twitter, I said, oh, Lord, they don't know. They want to hear what I have to say. Because I'm very, very strong-minded.
But that's good, you know, and you need to be able to, you know, to have a platform. I feel like for everyone who is out there and who has a voice, there's someone out there who needs to hear what they have to say. So, you know, don't shrink back. Go ahead and keep on saying what you have to say, you know, and keep putting it out there. And, you know, you put it out there and your people will gravitate towards you, you know. And, yeah, don't shrink back. Keep on keeping on. You know, it's awesome.
Yes,
do you
ma'am.
Happen to have
Thank
any
you.
Events or book signings coming up where readers can come out and meet you anytime soon?
I actually do have an event on... Let me double check. It is April 9th. I will
be
doing your Let Your Voice Be Heard event with Kenyatta York. She is an incredible author as well as an advocate for sexual assault victims. So she invited me on, and I'm very, very excited because I, too, am a sexual assault victim. So that was something that I definitely was proud and honored to be a part of. So that will be here in Atlanta on Saturday, April 9th. So you're more than welcome to come. Contact me on Facebook or reach out to Kenyatta York as well. She's got a group for it if you'd like a little bit more information or to get your tickets from Eventbrite. They are on there. So I'm very, very excited about that. But as of right now, that is my first event for the kickoff of 2016. So I'm very excited because I'll have my paperbacks and everything. And part two will be out by then. So Oh, very good. It'll be out before then, so hopefully I'll have both paperbacks, so I'm excited.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Where can our readers follow you on social media, and where can your books be purchased?
My books can be found on Amazon, so you can type in my name, Lynice Jackson, L-Y-N-I-C-E, and it actually comes up if you just type Lynice, because I'm the only one on Amazon. Yay! Okay, so I can also be contacted on Facebook at The Talented Lynice. That's the first word altogether, T-H-E-T-A-L-E-N-T-E-D, and then space, my name, L-Y-N-I-C-E. Now, I'm also on Periscope at Lynice, L-Y-N-I-C-E. So I'm very excited about some of the music that I'm going to be sharing. So make sure you guys download the Periscope app and follow me so that you don't miss any of the exclusive studio footage or the creation process or video shoot, all kinds of good stuff I got coming up. I can tell everything. I've already said too much.
That is
yes, by all means, I look forward to hearing from you. And thank you so much for having me in the show.
In parting, is there any advice that you would give to an aspiring author?
Not to quit. Don't quit.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. don't and never feel like you've got to rush. When you feel
yeah.
like you are ready and it's right and it's something that you can stand up wholeheartedly and be proud of, then you go. Don't let anyone or anybody say, why haven't you, and last week, are we doing this, when it's right. Everything
mm-hmm.
from your cover
mm-hmm.
to your promotions to your everything, when it's right to you, not to everyone else. But don't stop.
That's right.
You can do it. You got
mm-hmm.
this.
Okay. Very powerful words. I want to encourage you to, if you have the time, to stay on for the next 30 minutes and listen in. The next guest just has a wealth of information, veteran in the industry. I think you'll learn a whole lot from her. So,
I'll be here. I'm not going anywhere.
Thank you. Okay. So, Lynice, thank you very much for speaking with us today, and keep us abreast of your future works. We certainly wish you much success on your literary journey. Before
thank you
I
so
bring
much.
On my next
Will
guest.
Do.
Okay. Let's hear a word from our sponsor.
Scores of authors from across the nation will autograph books on Saturday, April 30th at the 7th Annual Dayton Book Expo. In addition to book signings, the Ohio-based event includes sessions for aspiring authors, a kids zone, and a free journal for book lovers. For details, call 888-802-1802 or visit DaytonBookExpo.com. Dayton Book Expo, where book lovers connect.
If you are just tuning in, welcome to In the Spotlight. I'm your host, Tamika Patrice Kane, and we've just interviewed author Lynice Jackson. I'd like to bring on our next guest, veteran author and founder of the Dayton Book Expo, Valerie J. Lewis Coleman. Valerie, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
It's my pleasure. So you are quite the veteran in this industry. Please tell our listeners about your journey into the literary world.
Well, I started out helping an author by the name of Vanessa Miller. She writes Christian fiction, great author, but she needed help with the business side of things. So she brought me on board as a partner to assist her with inventory, ordering books, traveling, you know, how to book a trip and all the basics. And so started out helping her. In the process of traveling with her, I ran into a lot of people who were being taken advantage of when it came to their books. One lady had spent $150 for her copyright, you know,
mm-hmm.
or people were going
mm-hmm.
to shady publishers or putting out inferior work. And so what I did as a result was I decided to go out and, okay, I'm going to start helping authors with this. My background is in engineering, so I transitioned my engineering problem-solving skills to the book business. And I've been doing that
mm-hmm.
now for almost 20 years. It's helping authors get to where they want to be, most importantly with packaging their book so that they put together a quality product at a great price for themselves so that then they can turn a significant profit.
Okay. So in addition to working with authors, you are an author yourself. How many books have you written?
Oh, see, I knew he was going to ask me how many. I'm going to say about 7 or 8. I never really kept count. That's awful.
Okay.
Yeah, but I've assisted hundreds of other authors, and I've published over 30 books in total. So,
okay.
Yeah, you know, to be an author, to teach people how to be an author, I first had to be one. That's just my thing. I wouldn't go to a single person for marriage counseling. I just, you know, that just doesn't work for me. So,
I totally feel you on that. So you are not only an author, but you are a best-selling author. What are some of the key components that it takes to become a best-selling author?
Well, I would say the first key component would have to be having a quality product. You have to have something that people find value in so that they are willing to buy it, you know, and then leave great reviews for it. But they have to buy it, you know, you have to have purchases in quantity. So if your book is good, well-written, speaks to your audience, you know, free of errors, then they'll tell other people, and then other people tell other people. So you have to have a quality product first and foremost. And secondly, I'd say you have to have a great platform. So you have to put yourself in a position to be seen, to be recognized, and then, of course, for your books to be purchased. So for me, Amazon was a great platform. And then Christian Small Publishers Association was another great platform. And Military Writers Association. So various associations I was contributed to or was a member of, those organizations had awards programs, and I was able to win awards. But Amazon is the most recognizable for me, outside of course, you know, the New York Times. Haven't gotten there yet. I'm working on it, though.
You'll get there. So I'm glad you brought up the awards. That was the next question on my list for you. Why don't you tell us about some of the awards that you've won, and throw in a few of your book titles, too, while you're at it.
Okay, sure. Well, my first book that won an award was A Blended Families in Anthology. That was my very first book. It's a compilation of short stories from people who are in step families or were in step families, whether they were the child, the custodial parent, the biological parent, an adoptive parent. But their feedback and their emotion and their feelings and their experiences with being in a step family. So that one has been number one on Amazon in the step family category, step family parenting category. So, yes, I'm excited about that one. And then The Forbidden Secrets of the Goodie Box, which is my first and only novel at this point. That book has been number top 100 in Kindle on Amazon, as well as top 100 in Chick Lit.
Pardon me?
Both of those have placed. Chick Lit. The Forbidden Secrets of the Goodie Box. It's a book about relationships. What I did was find out why men do the things they do to us in relationships. So I studied them, surveyed, asked questions, polled, got all this information over the years, and then created fictional characters to respond to the things that men had shared with me. So the book takes you on a journey with two single women and one married in their process of finding relational fulfillment. So you experience the heartbreak, you experience the frustration, you experience the betrayal, but then you also get to experience their progress, their journey into falling in love with themselves and then being in a position to then be found by the right type of man. So it's a great read. But because it reads like the Sex in the City, although it's not a lot of sex in the city, they've dubbed it the Black Sex in the City. So it's categorized as chick lit. Yeah, because it's full of humor and entertainment, but just not a lot. A whole bunch of sex, not that.
Okay. That sounds like an excellent read. So you are the founder of the Dayton Book Expo. What was your motivation behind starting this event, and how long has it been running?
Well, this year, April the 30th, will mark our seventh year. And actually, it was myself and two other authors, LaTanya Branham and Charlotte Brown. It was something that I had wanted to do for years. I have traveled the country, you know, going to book fairs in various cities. Charlotte had a book fair at one time, Indianapolis, Harlem Book Fair, you know, various cities have these great book fairs. And I'm from the city of Dayton, Ohio, and we didn't have anything like, you know, the library may have an event every now and then, but nothing that really drew authors and book lovers together. Most of the time at the library, it may be one or two authors and, you know, the patrons of the library. So I had wanted to do it for years, and I talked to LaTanya and Charlotte, you know, and gave them some of the concepts I was thinking about, and we sat down together as a team, and we discussed the pros and cons of all the conferences we had attended, and then we wanted, of course, to implement the pros into the Dayton Book Expo and then work out the cons. So as a result, we've had, you know, hundreds of book lovers come every year. Last year we had the highest attendance. We were somewhere between 500 and 600. We're shooting for thousands,
really?
But it takes time.
Okay.
It takes time to get there. Last year we also had 94 authors participate as a result of the our public library seeing the results of the event and hearing about it. They came on board last year, and they're also coming on board this year, and they are sponsoring some authors to participate. So we had 94 authors last year. We're hoping to have that many, if not more, this year.
Okay. That sounds fantastic. So why don't you tell us more about the Book Expo and what can vendors and attendees expect?
Well, the Dayton Book Expo, which is the website, daytonbookexpo.com, is our way of connecting book lovers. So we bring authors together, we bring book lovers together, we bring readers, we bring people in the book industry, and the day starts at 11 a.m. with open book signings. So all the authors who are registered are signing their books. The various, you know, of course, we have people coming in from all over. And so from there, we have sessions for people who are interested in writing and publishing books. So we do a session just geared towards writing, a panel discussion on publishing, and then a panel discussion on marketing. And depending upon who we have as a featured author, they may have a time, half an hour or an hour, to discuss their books. So we tend to have that going on. Yeah. We also have, for the authors who are participating, because our focus is to make sure that the authors are well taken care of. We've been to events where the authors are ignored or not acknowledged, or no one comes to the event. It's just author selling to author. So one of the things we do for our authors is, of course, they have a presence on our website. Each author has a page on our website. We do corporate marketing. So I put out 4 to 5 media releases every year to about 15,000 different people between our social media and the opt-in mailing list. So we put out about 4 or 5 of those. We do radio, TV, interviews, magazine articles. We also put out postcards into the community and posters. So we are very active in making sure that the people know about the event.
Okay.
So that's important. You know, it's very important because you can have hundreds of authors, and if no one comes through, it's just, you know, hundreds of authors.
Absolutely.
So, and through the process of preparing for the conference, I send the authors list of marketing strategies, pre-event strategies that they can use to promote their presence at the event, and then, of course, they can use later on at other events. But it's important for me that they understand that we work hard to bring an audience of people to the event. However, it's important for the author to him or herself also do some work to bring people there so that when people do come to the event, they are looking specifically for them and not just coming for the whole collective of authors. We had an author, Dr. Karen Townsend, she's been our top-selling author ever. She sold 104 books in 4 hours. I don't know if that's a lot
for
people, but that's a good quantity, yes.
Yes, yes.
In 4 hours' time, but what she did was she had a significant pre-event strategy where she specifically invited friends and family. She sent written invitations. She sent email invitations. The day of the event, she did texting and calling. She had friends come from as far as Arizona, from Dayton, Ohio, to Arizona.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, Dayton, Ohio, from Arizona, to support her. It was her first book, and she really made, you know, big steps to let people know she was coming out with her book. She contacted organizations. She contacted her sorority sister. She contacted her college alum. You know, she went and contacted church friends. She put it out there, and so they came, and she just had a line of people there waiting to get her book. So it was fantastic.
Okay.
It was great to see the response. So I
put
out strategies, you know, to let the authors know they, you know, because as authors, most of us, me included, we're introverts. We are, we prefer to stay at home and write. We don't necessarily have to be so involved in getting out there and talking to the people, but that's the best way to sell your book is by speaking engagements or, you know, engaging the people at signing events. Instead of sitting down with your head down and looking around and reading a book or doing something other than standing up, I tell my author, stand up in front of your table and approach people as they come to you as opposed to sitting behind the table. Although the table is a great means of displaying your product, it's also a barrier to communication. So you want to step out in front of that table to connect with the people. So I share those type of tips throughout the transition for the expo. This year, we have added a couple new things. We've added two events prior to the expo. One is going to be what we call the author boot camp, where we're actually going to be selling the authors on how to actually come together and do their marketing. And then, and that's going to be just like a couple hours. Meet and greet is the second one that will come the day before the expo. We have a lot of authors who want to connect with each other. And once they get to the expo, because of the crowd and the time, they're more focused on selling their books as opposed to connecting with other authors. So we're putting this together the night before so that the authors can meet with each other and maybe share some last-minute strategies or ideas and, you know, just to get to know each other. So that's what we try to do, is really help the authors.
It sounds like a fantastic event. How can authors participate this year?
Well, this year what they can do is go to the Dayton Book Expo website. It's DaytonBookExpo.com, and they can register there. And actually, everything is online. The website has an online form. Click here as authors. It'll take them to a form where we ask, you know, their book information. We have them upload their book cover and the author photo, so that is on our website. And then from there, they'll get the invoice, and once the invoice is paid, that's it. They can be on some of the panels if they choose to be speakers on the panels and take advantage of some of the other promotional opportunities we have for authors.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there room for non-literary individuals to plug into what you're doing at the Dayton Book Expo? And if so, what types of opportunities are present for them?
We have sponsors every year. For one, we have academic sponsors. So colleges have often participated and been sponsors. So they have a table, and then they're used the expo as an opportunity to recruit potential students. We've also had high school sponsors in the past, where charter schools, where they were, you know, looking to let people know about what they were doing and what their school offered. But most of the people that we've had to come in and sponsor have been book related.
Okay.
That was one of the things we wanted to make sure, that we kept the expo literary focused. I've been to book events where you have people selling shirts and clothes and purses and incense. You have five authors and then 200 other vendors. So we didn't we didn't want to have that type of trade show type feel. But we have had sponsors who have, we have media sponsors come in. So we have people who have radio shows or newspaper magazines, you know, which is still in the realm of literary, and they will have a table. We've had sponsors come in who make bookmarks or book bands, you know, that anything book related. So editors have come there. We've had reviewers. Reader's Favorite is a great online company that does reviews, book reviews. And several years, the founder of Reader's Favorite actually came and sat on the marketing panel to share the importance of, you know, getting reviews for your book and how that can influence future readers.
Absolutely. Okay. Excuse me. For those who are interested in putting together literary events, what would you say are some of the key components to making it successful? Because clearly you guys are doing a phenomenal job with this event each year.
That is such a good question. That is a really great question, because I have gone to events. People have left our events, even my publishing events. I have workshops twice a year where I teach people how to write and publish. I've had people leave my event and then, you know, mimic or attempt to mimic the event, but not understanding all the work that goes in the background to make an event successful. So one thing I tell anyone that I'm coaching through that, you know, event planning process is make sure you understand who all of your stakeholders are in your event. It's not just, for example, if you're having a book event, it's not just the authors and the book readers. Your other stakeholders will be sponsors, volunteers. If you're going to have speakers, they are also, you know, important to consider. So it's important to make sure you understand who all the people, vendors even, if you're going to have vendors outside of the authors, who you're going to have to make sure that you understand what their needs are, what their expectations are, and then how that you can then satisfy those. So lots of times people don't consider the speakers. I've gone to events where I was an author slash speaker. They had no consideration for the speakers, so the event didn't start on time, or the rooms weren't ready, or the material I needed, I requested, wasn't in the room. You know, so those type of things are essential to making sure the event is successful. And then marketing. If you don't put the word out about it, that's got to be the toughest thing.
All right. So in addition to writing and the being the founder of the Dayton Book Expo, you are also the owner of Pen of the Writer. I love that name, by the way. Please tell us about your company and the types of services that you offer.
Well, Pen of the Writer, which is P-E-N, ink pen, penofthewriter.com is my website, was created after I realized, again, that people were having a lot of challenges when it came to writing and publishing their books. They were being taken advantage of. They were coming across these shady publishers, people who were overcharging and under-delivering, mm-hmm. not understanding what the different aspects of editing were and why it was important to edit, not knowing the correct resources to go to. So what I did with Pen of the Writer is I put together my experiences and my resources so that people, when they come into the process, they're not, let's say I like to inform people. I'm a teacher. I'm right now, my engineering job, you know, no hablo español muy bien, so when they moved to Mexico, I moved to books.
Okay.
So I'm in the book business, but I also teach. And my thing about teaching is making sure that people are fully informed so that they can make wise and sound decisions. You may not choose to do it the way I recommend. However, at least you have more information now so that you can avoid the pitfalls. And that's my whole thing, is to make sure people don't make the mistakes that I've made or other people have made. So that's the purpose of Pen of the Writer. I offer the conferences through Pen of the Writer. Pen to Paper Literary Symposium is my October conference where I go through the steps of publishing. Last year, I even incorporated how to actually publish your ebook to Kindle. So at the end of the conference, people who stuck around and stayed for what I call the master session, they were able to, you know, go through the steps of publishing their ebook. And then the write-on workshop, which I have coming up March the 26th, that one focuses solely on writing and editing. So, you know, how do you put the story together? How do I develop my characters so that they leap off of the pages? How do I outline a chapter? How do I overcome writer's block? And what are the important elements, or what are the four things you need to make sure you consider in writing your book? I always tell my clients, you have to start with the end in mind. It's not just about chapter one, but what are the end results? What do you want? And so I stepped them through that process. It's a phenomenal session, and a lot of authors, some authors and even aspiring authors are like, I had no idea to even consider that type of thing. So you know, it helps them through the journey, through the process. Then I also offer coaching sessions. I have people who always want to, quote-unquote, pick my brain. I'm sure you've had that as well. So picking my brain, which it sounds like it's, you know, oh, that's nothing, not a big deal, give me a few nuggets, but there are years and years of experience reading books, surveying, talking to people, going through my own process and journey, picking my brain. So I offer coaching on sessions, either hourly, monthly, quarterly, or annually. I'm in the process now of working on a virtual program such that people can have access to me 24 hours a day, and it's just basically me sharing my information, but then they work at their own pace.
Yes. That's a great idea.
Thank you. And also through Pen of the Writer, I also have some training videos I offer for free. The conferences, the coaching, of course, my books are made available through Pen of the Writer. And then I also came to finally realize that not everyone wants to learn how to publish. They would prefer someone else do the work for them. As a matter of fact, it was in one of my conferences where a lady said, I appreciate all this information. This is fantastic. I am overwhelmed. What you going to charge me to publish my book? I said, well, there's an opportunity. And that's when I launched Queen, Queen V, as in Valerie, Queen V Publishing. And through Queen V Publishing, I've published books for about 20 different people, published print books and ebooks. So, so it's been a great journey, and helping people to get their information out. You know, business owners and small business owners, professional speakers, helping them to leverage their celebrity by making publishing quick, easy, and affordable. So that's what I've been doing for the last 10 plus years.
Okay. Well, you certainly are well respected in the industry and come highly recommended. So,
thank you.
People are talking about you, and it's good stuff.
That's important.
So, who would you say? What types of clients are the best fit for what you offer? What would you say?
Well, for my publishing company, the clients who is my best fit are those who are typically already in business or going to use their speaking as a platform. Those people who are professional, you know, PhDs or doctors or have their own businesses, or they are looking to launch a career as a speaker. Those are my best clients. And so far, the majority of my clients, not all, have been women, and all the books have been inspirational. I don't do erotica. Okay. I don't do urban fiction. So those are my best clients, I would say, are probably women professionals. They have been my main target. Yeah. And as far as the conferences, that's really open to anyone who is serious, only those who are serious about learning the craft and being more effective in the craft.
Okay. And for those who are interested in your literary services, how can they contact you?
I have several websites. The one website is penofthewriter.com, and pen is spelled P-E-N, penofthewriter.com. That's based off of the scripture in Judges 5:14. And then the site directly to me for speaking and booking is Valerie, A-L-E-R-I-E-J-L, Coleman, C-O-L-E-M-A-N.com. And then for the Forbidden Secrets of the Goodie Box, which is a book that everyone loves, men and women, that website is the Goodie, G-O-O-D-Y, boxbook.com, thegoodieboxbook.com. And then, of course, I'm on Facebook. Anything they do, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Pen of the Writer, Blog Talk, they'll find me, Pen of the Writer.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, and so you've told us that your books may be purchased on Amazon and also on your website. Are there any other places where your books can be purchased?
My books are available on thousands of online retailers. So if they go in and Google the title, it'll pop up. But, yes, definitely Amazon, Barnes & Noble. There are Asian websites that say, the Forbidden Secrets of the Goodie Box. So I don't know what all the other stuff says, but I know what my title is. So it's all over the world, literally.
Okay. Awesome. So in parting, is there any advice that you give to an author who has already published their book but who may not be as far along as they thought they'd be by now? What would you say to that person?
Most importantly is understand who your audience is. You cannot write to everyone. You cannot market to everyone. You know, authors say, everyone's going to buy my book. Everyone will love my book. Well, in trying to please everyone, you will satisfy no one. So you really want to make sure you know who is your specific audience. Be able to visualize someone in your mind, and then you'll be better able to locate where those people are. You'll write to them in the voice that they need to hear, the message they need to hear, and then you'll be able to attract them. And if you write to them the way they want to be, you know, written to and hear and feel your message, they have to feel your message, word of mouth will take you all over the place. So I do conferences all over the country for organizations, churches, schools, off of the Goodie Box book, solely off of word of mouth. So you have to know who your audience is.
Wow. Okay. Well, we have reached the end of our time here. Valerie, it has certainly been a pleasure talking with you today, and we wish you continued success on your literary journey.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Again, listeners, we've had authors, Lanice Jackson, and author and founder of the Dayton Book Expo, Valerie J. Lewis Coleman, with us today. If you will be in the Dayton area, the Dayton, Ohio area, be sure to come out and meet Valerie and myself on Saturday, April 30th at Sinclair Community College in Dayton, Ohio. We'd love to connect with you. If you missed any part of today's podcast, you can hear it in its entirety about 5 minutes after the show airs. Thank you for tuning in. We encourage you to support the authors who appear on the show. Of course, if you like what you hear, pass on the word. Supporting those in the literary arena is what we're all about. Join us next week for In the Spotlight at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on WALN, the Abundant Living Station. Until we meet again, make each day a great day on purpose, and don't forget to read a great book. Have a good day.